Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and a very warm welcome to the Q1 FY19 results conference call of Info Edge Limited. Joining us today on the call are Mr. Hitesh Oberoi, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Chintan Thakkar, CFO, Mr. Sanjeev Bikhchandani, Vice Chairman. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I'm now glad to hand the conference over to Mr. Hitesh Oberoi. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our first quarter FY18-19 results conference call. We will first take you through the quarterly financial performance of the company, then we will cover each business in more detail, and in the end, we will be happy to take questions. The audited financial statements file has been uploaded on our website, www.infoedge.in. We've also provided segmental billing, revenue, profit before taxes, and DSR movement in our data sheet on our website. Firstly, talking about the standalone financials, billings in Q1 were rupees 283.3 crores, up 17% year-on-year. Revenue in Q1 was rupees 259.5 crores, up 17% year-on-year. Operating expenses, excluding depreciation for the quarter, were rupees 175.3 crores, up 15% year-on-year. This was primarily due to an increase in marketing, hiring in tech and product, and annual increments. Operating EBITDA stood at rupees 84.3 crores versus rupees 70.3 crores last year, having increased 20% year-on-year. Operating EBITDA margins for the quarter stood at 32.5% versus 31.6% in Q1 of last year. EBITDA, adjusted for ESOP non-cash charges, stood at rupees 88.1 crores versus rupees 79 crores last year. Adjusted EBITDA margins for the quarter stood at 34%. Cash EBITDA for the quarter stood at rupees 112 crores, up 14.2% year-on-year. Deferred sales revenue has increased to rupees 420 crores as of June 30, 2018, versus rupees 354 crores as of June 30, 2017, an increase of 19% year-on-year. The cash balance for the company as a whole stands at rupees 1,980 crores as of June 30, 2018. The recruitment business and the real estate business continue to drive the growth for the quarter. On the expenses side, we spent more on marketing as compared to Q1 of last year, and we hired additional resources to invest in changing technologies. Additionally, there was some impact of increments, which take place primarily in Q1 for Info Edge. Moving on to results by segment, we'll first cover the recruitment segment. In Q1, recruitment segment billings were rupees 210 crores, up 15.4% year-on-year, while revenues were rupees 184.1 crores, an increase of 15.2% year-on-year. Operating EBITDA margins in recruitment segment were at 56.8% versus 55% in Q1 FY18. Employee costs were higher because of increments and some net hiring in the division. EBITDA margins, adjusted for ESOP non-cash charges, stood at 57.8%. Cash EBITDA for recruitment during the quarter stood at rupees 132 crores, up 15.6% year-on-year. In Naukri, in Q1 FY19, we added an average of 18,000 fresh CVs every day, and the Naukri database grew to about 59 million CVs. Average CV modifications were at 350,000 per day. Our traffic share in the job portal space continues to be in the mid-70s, excluding Indeed, and around 60%, including Indeed. We continue to invest aggressively in our recruitment tools and systems businesses as we add more clients to the product. We saw an uptick in new customer acquisition last quarter, and there was also some pickup in IT sector hiring, leading to higher billing from IT companies this quarter. Non-IT companies, sectors like auto, industrial products, construction, banking and finance, insurance, manufacturing, BPO, and some other smaller sectors also did well for the company in terms of growth, as also indicated by the Naukri Job Seeker Index. Revenue from consultants did not grow as expected. Now we will talk about other verticals, starting with 99acres. In the real estate business, 99acres, billings in Q1 grew 37% year-on-year to rupees 41 crores, while revenue grew 34% to rupees 42 crores. We continued to invest in marketing during the quarter, resulting in an EBITDA loss of around rupees 11.5 crores versus a loss of rupees 9.6 crores in Q1 of last year. Adjusted EBITDA after adjusting for ESOP expenses stood at a loss of rupees 10.7 crores versus a loss of rupees 7.1 crores in Q1 of last year. Cash EBITDA loss of 99 acres during the quarter stood at rupees 11.7 crores versus a loss of rupees 8.7 crores in Q1. Our traffic share amongst real estate portals remained around 50% during the quarter based on time spent as per SimilarWeb. Broker billings formed 50% of the overall billings, while builder billings stood at about 45% of the billings for the trading 12 months, ending June 30, 2018. Home buyers continue to prefer retail and rental properties over new launches, which was evident from higher Q1 billing growth on account of agents. Owner billings stood at about 5% of total billings for the last 12 months. We will continue to invest in marketing for 99 acres as we try to consolidate our position in the real estate classifieds business, since we believe the real estate market is now on a revival path. The key area of focus of investment for 99 acres will include marketing and more investment in product and technology. And during the quarter, we experienced an increase in sales inquiries by our builder partners across the country. Moving on to the matrimony business, Jeevansathi billings grew 1% year-on-year in Q1 to rupees 18.2 crores owing to aggressive pricing and activity by competition during the quarter. Revenue grew 4% year-on-year to rupees 18.2 crores. Higher marketing spends during the quarter aided higher traction as number of paid transactions improved year-on-year. We are looking to consolidate our position as we penetrate deeper into the key regions communities we operate in. We are likely to continue to spend on marketing going forward as well. Operating EBITDA loss in Jeevansathi increased to rupees 5.6 crores in Q1 FY19 from rupees 4.1 crores in QY FY18. Adjusted EBITDA loss stood at rupees 5.5 crores for Q1 versus a loss of rupees 3.5 crores in Q1 FY18. Cash EBITDA for Jeevansathi during the quarter stood at negative 5.4 crores. More than 90% of our users access Jeevansathi from the mobile, and the Jeevansathi mobile app continues to be the best in the category. Moving on to the Shiksha business, in Q1, the Shiksha billings grew by 22% year-on-year to rupees 14.1 crores, while revenue grew 11% year-on-year and reached 15.3 crores. We made an EBITDA profit of rupees 3.1 crores in Q1 versus a profit of rupees 2 crores in Q1 of last year. Adjusted EBITDA profit for the quarter stood at rupees 3.3 crores versus rupees 2.9 crores last year. And cash EBITDA was at 2.1 crores versus rupees 0.6 crores in Q1 of last year. We continue to make our efforts, all efforts to improve our product and user experience in Shiksha.com. Talking about our strategic investments, the Policy Bazaar deal was announced in the quarter and will be concluded after statutory approval. And we continue to evaluate new investment opportunities from time to time. That's all from us. Thank you, and we are now ready to take any questions.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Anuj Gupta from Progress Research. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
Good evening, sir. Amongst the investing company, can you please throw some light on any companies which have shown extremely impressive growth and could become big like Zomato or Policy Bazaar?
So I think both Zomato and Policy Bazaar continue to show impressive growth, and which is why there is constant inbound investor interest in them. I think we have seen the Policy Bazaar concluded an investment round recently. A little before that, the Zomato concluded an investment round. So these two, I think, are continuing to do well. The others are work in progress.
And sir, could you please share some numbers on the potential opportunity in terms of market size for Naukri.com, 99acres.com, and Jeevansathi?
There is no sort of data available, but what I can tell you is that, we work with over 70,000 customers in Naukri alone, and we estimate that about 20-25% of all hiring happens through Naukri in all these companies, and there's a lot of spending on offline recruitment firms, there's a lot of spending on referral hiring, there's a lot of spending on newspaper hiring still. It's hard to say, but the total market, I mean, one can just hazard a guess, could be close to $1 billion, if not more, as far as recruitment goes. And then on top of that, there is temp staffing and there is, contract staffing and so on and so forth. And here I'm just discussing the white collar space. And then there is blue collar hiring as well, which is a separate market altogether. Today it may be very small, but it could go grow going forward. So the market for recruitment is probably upwards of $1 billion. In real estate, I mean, till when real estate was at its peak a few years ago, I mean, real estate firms were spending about 3,000 to 4,000 crores a year on advertising in offline media like newspapers and hoardings. That spend may have come down a little bit because the real estate market has been in the doldrums for a while now. But I'm sure it's still upwards of more than maybe 2,000 crores. The online portals today, of course, get a small fraction of that. That market may start growing once again if real estate starts to recover. So the opportunity in both these spaces is very large, but you need the right products and services to sort of be able to capitalize on these opportunities.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vivekanand Subraman from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. So on 99acres and recruitment, how much of the billing growth was organic and how much was driven by potentially longer longer duration subscription packages? And on recruitment, can you give us any segment? You gave a brief description of various segments, but could you give us a more detailed segmental color? And do you think the environment is now conducive for price increases there? And lastly, on 99acres, can you please update us on the various key markets like Delhi NCR, Mumbai, Bangalore, and billing growth in these markets? Thanks.
So in none of our businesses, we sell products beyond a year. So I mean, 98% of our sales are of subscriptions that are less than a year. So we don't sell multi-year subscriptions. As far as Naukri is concerned, close to 25% of our 27-28% of our revenue comes from IT companies. Another 25-26% of our revenue comes from the recruitment firms, and the rest comes from another 40-50 industries. During the quarter, last quarter, what I had said on the call was that we saw a slight slowdown in IT, which impacted our billing growth last quarter. This quarter we saw a slight revival in IT. Only time will tell whether it sustains. But markets like Bangalore, Chennai, and Hyderabad did well for us last quarter. As far as 99acres is concerned, we saw billing growth in all the markets we operate in. Of course, Delhi and Bombay are the two large markets, followed by Bangalore, and then by markets like Pune, Chennai, and Hyderabad. But we saw growth in almost every city.
Right. And just to understand the duration packages, and is it so that you sell annual packages, but is it also the case that brokers have the option of taking shorter duration packs, and therefore when things improve, they start looking at taking longer duration packages, say up to a year? Is that understanding correct? Or
you're right, people can buy shorter duration subscriptions both in recruitment and in jobs. And you're also right that when the market starts to look up, people sort of feel more confident, and then they are more willing to commit to longer duration packs than when the market is not so good.
Is that the case right now? And if so, is it time to press for price increases, or how should we see the market right now?
Well, we'll have to do a more detailed analysis, and then we can get back to you on this. But see, anecdotally, yes, the sales team is a lot more confident. Like I said, we saw a revival in IT. IT hiring was late for a while. Q1, we did okay. But you must also remember that last year Q1 was impacted because of GST. So we are growing on a slightly low base. We'll have to see if this growth sustains going forward. Yeah, and yes, if it sustains for the next one or two quarters, then we could look at a price hike in the businesses we operate in.
Great. Thanks a lot. I'll come back with more.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Arya Sen from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, everyone. My first question is for Sanjeev. Specifically on Policy Bazaar, at one point you had sold down some stake. Last year you invested a bit but maintained stake. This year you've actually increased stake over there. So what has changed over the last 2 years? What has made you more positive, and what's the outlook on that business from a 3-4 year perspective?
So what has changed is our perception of the risks in the business. When we sold down, it was two reasons. One is to facilitate the entry of other investors so that the company could raise the capital the company would raise. Also at that time, the risk perception was different. Subsequently, I think the business performance has improved. At the same time, certain regulatory changes have occurred, which has caused us to believe this is a much lower risk business now than it was earlier. And therefore, we maintained our share. We defended our share in the last round. And now we feel more confident that this is going to be a very big and valuable business, and therefore we have actually increased our exposure. To summarize, that's what it is. And our next 3-4 years, look, right now the business is growing rapidly. Its other site, Paisa Bazaar, has also begun to do well, although it's still losing money. We will have to take it year by year, quarter by quarter, and then see where it goes. It's very hard to predict stuff 3-4 years out. Yeah, but right now it's looking very good.
Right, and the risk perception that you talk about is, you mentioned regulatory risk. So what specific regulatory change was this, and is there anything outside of the...
I think two things. One is, I think there's now much deeper understanding, in the environment about the fact that Policy Bazaar is good for the consumer, right? And therefore, it's a model that's come here to stay, and therefore it must be encouraged. I think certain price ceilings were relaxed a bit on what they can charge per lead. So these two things led us to believe that, look, now the risk is much lower.
Right. Secondly, any update you can provide on Zomato, specifically on the online ordering and delivery part? What is the current run rate of orders, and how much is being how much of the fulfillment is being done by Zomato itself through Donor, and any other updates that you can share on Zomato?
So Zomato is increasingly delivering more and more of its orders through its own delivery system, which is Runner and others, right? And less and less increasingly through third parties. Although it's still got more third party than a Swiggy, which is entirely on its delivery itself. And the run rate, Zomato has kind of announced something, which is I think around 12 million, orders a month run rate. Of course, Swiggy has announced a higher number, but the gap is narrowing. Zomato expects to catch up and overtake in a few months.
Sorry, you're saying 12 million because in the annual report it says 5.5 million. So that has, in 3 months, it's gone to 12 million. Is that correct?
Yes, there's a rapid increase in Zomato online order business.
Is there some seasonality to it?
Zomato has announced publicly. So you can, if you do a Google search, you'll find it.
That's right, but is there some seasonality to it, you think?
I don't think so. In fact, actually, summer holidays are a lean season.
Okay, fair enough.
There was a football World Cup, and that we have got a boost, and we don't know. But right now the growth is so rapid that we don't think this is because of seasonality.
Right, and are they still continuing with that policy of discounting the commissions they charge to the restaurants?
I think they are spending substantially on marketing, right? They don't reveal the exact numbers to the public. They have raised capital. The strategy has changed. It is going to be a more capital consumptive business going forward. They're looking to grow the market, and they're looking to grow the online ordering the piece.
Right. Secondly,
at the same time, Zomato Gold has done very well and continues to do well. And they've recently launched Piggy Bank, which is a loyalty program, and that has again come out publicly that within 48 hours of launch, it has got a large number of subscriptions and sign-ups. So that seems to be doing well. So, you know, apart from online ordering, I think Zomato is got a second leg and a third leg and a fourth leg, which is all few of which are looking interesting. You know, advertising and Zomato Gold and Piggyback, which is the loyalty program.
Right. And could you also clarify what is your current stake in Policy Bazaar after all these, you know, investments?
Yeah, super.
So I think it will be roughly, you know, roughly it should be about 14%. Because all the rounds are not yet closed, but yes, whatever we have announced, you know, together, it would be, you know,
between 30% and 40%.
Yeah, close to that.
Okay. And Chintan, also if you could clarify on the write-off that you took this quarter of 160 million, that is on account of which investment specifically?
So I think very specifically it is about Canada, although I mean in our books it is the subsidiary company through which we are holding. But if you have to go to the ultimate, you know, impairment on asset, impairing asset, you know, then it's on a Canada.
And the adoption of Ind AS 115 basically has had no impact on you, including on how you recognize the sales incentive, which you are now continuing to recognize as it is expensed. That's what you've said,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, because, you know, we have all the contracts which are kind of 12 months or less than 12 months. Then we have the option to kind of, you know, continue with the current, you know, accounting. You know, so we have continued with that, you know.
So this is a more conservative treatment, effectively.
Yeah, that's correct.
And lastly, I missed the number on EBITDA for the recruitment business, which Hitesh had mentioned earlier.
I'll just give it to you. Cash EBITDA for recruitment for the quarter was 132 crores.
No, he also mentioned operating EBITDA, right?
Yeah, operating EBITDA was
104
crores.
Yeah, that's all from my side. Thank you and all the best. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ravi Menon from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. Just want to check out the revenue per customer. You know, seems like that's gone up quite a bit for now, nearly 18% YOY. So what led to this sharp increase? I didn't hear you mention anything about pricing going up.
See, normally what happens when the market starts looking up, is that, you know, we are able to add more customers because more businesses start hiring. Two, we are able to upgrade customers because since every business needs to hire more people than they were hiring earlier, you know, we are able to push volume. And thirdly, discounts also sort of come down because businesses are in a hurry to hire. So, but jury still out. I mean, we had a good quarter, but like I said earlier, you know, this is on the back of a poor quarter, first quarter last year, which was impacted by GST. So we are not saying that the market is back. But if this sustains, yes, we could take that view.
Right. And Jeevansathi, I'm not sure, have you stopped sharing the revenues for that?
Sorry, I didn't get that. Can you repeat?
Jeevansathi, you know, I think I missed when you called out the revenue number. Could you share that again?
Yeah. So billing in Jeevansathi was flat. And revenue was up 4% year on year.
All right, great. Okay. And Zomato, I mean, saw that, you know, they've announced two pivots. One is this restaurant B2B business, and secondly, talking about grocery delivery to consumers as well. So, you know, any thoughts on the pivots and, you know, what sort of capital this would require?
Sorry, I couldn't understand your question. Yeah, so as of now, I think these are just toes in the water. I don't think that in the immediate term they will require a lot of capital, and then they'll see how it goes.
All right, great. Thanks, best luck.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Atul Mehra from Motilal Oswal Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, just a couple of questions. One is in terms of the staffing business, in terms of the recruitment engine, what part of the recruiters is basically temp staffing firms, which are like the more organized top players?
Yeah, we don't have the breakup. Right now, we don't track it like that.
And in terms of just on the staffing business once again, so if you were to maybe segment this to, say, you would have about 80,000 odd clients, but if you were to segment it in terms of the top, say, 5%, 10%, so how would they contribute to revenues?
The top 10% give a little over 60% of our collection and billing. And if you take it 20%, it will probably be upwards of 85%.
Top 20 would be 85.
Top 10%. And
top
20
top 10 is 60, top 20 is 85.
10%, that's about, you know, 8,000 flats.
Right, right. Got it. And just one number on Zomato in terms of what would be our unique customer base now in India? And similarly, what would be the gold member customer base?
So they don't announce these numbers, so I'm not at liberty to disclose them. But you know, both you know, gold and restaurant. So you see, more and more restaurants are now preferring to do delivery and to do advertising for the delivery, as opposed to pure advertising for, you know, for getting people to their page on Zomato. So it's in a bit of a flux there, and things are changing. But overall, it's all feeding into total revenue for the company.
Right. Great. Thanks, and wish you all the best.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Karan Uppal from Haitong Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. So just a question on IT sector pickup. So what's the outlook there, and which part of the IT hiring is currently you are seeing the traction? Is it in the lateral space or in the fresh recruitment? Thanks.
See, IT growth was slow for us for the last one or two quarters. Q1 was, of course, okay. So, you know, IT sort of hiring numbers picked up for us. And markets like Bangalore, Chennai, and Hyderabad did well. I don't know what's really going to happen going forward because, like I said, our growth was also impacted last year because of GST and other sort of things which happened in the economy. Sales team is confident that this will sustain, but we'll have to wait and see what happens. When we say IT, we actually mean IT services companies, you know, product development companies, e-commerce companies, domestic software companies, back offices, MNCs. All these are clubbed together under the IT head.
Okay, thanks. Secondly, on advertisement spends, so this quarter the numbers have been, there was a slight, last quarter it had a very nice pickup. So what's the outlook over there?
On advertising?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, we continue to spend, you know, on both Jeevansathi and 99 Acres. And that's why our ad expenses are up compared to last year. You know, so on advertising, we take it quarter by quarter. We don't have a budget for the year. We run some ads, see the response to the advertising, and then based on the response, we decide whether we want to spend more or spend less. Sometimes we're also driven by competition. So if competition is aggressive, we get aggressive. So it's going to be hard for me to tell you what's going to happen going forward. But on the whole, we will continue to invest more in advertising, brand building, product development in all our businesses.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Ankit Kedia from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Sir, could you share some operating data for Jeevansathi? In last two quarters, we have aggressively invested in Jeevansathi in advertising. Even in IPL, we ran some campaigns for Jeevansathi. You know, data sheet, I think we have stopped carrying some data points for Jeevansathi. If you can just, you know, share some data points on that.
Yeah, so we are reviewing our strategy in Jeevansathi. We've been investing aggressively in marketing to get volume growth, and we have stopped disclosing some numbers for competitive reasons.
Sure. So, will the advertising campaign continue in quarter two?
Yes, of course. You know, we will continue to advertise, like I was saying earlier, in both Jeevansathi and 99 Acres. But what we do is we advertise, we see the results, we see the response to the advertising, then we tweak the campaign. Sometimes we up the budget, sometimes we lower the budget, depending on the response we get. So, the budget will fluctuate from quarter to quarter, but we will continue to advertise.
Sure. My second question is regarding 99acres. You said you are seeing some green shoots in Jeevan 99acres, you know, growth in every city we have witnessed. So do you think this is sustainable, and we can for sure assume that, you know, these growth rates will sustain going forward?
Well, we've been now growing at about 35-40% for the last three quarters in 99acres. But, you know, what we must remember is that before that, growth was impacted for about four quarters. One, first because of demonetization, then because of RERA and GST. So this is growth which is coming off a low base. Whether it will sustain going forward or not, only time will tell.
Sure. And in Naukri, you mentioned you're going to focus on products and technology. Could you, highlight some new things which you have done on product and technology side in 99 in Naukri?
Yeah, so there are three or four areas we are investing in Naukri. One is, of course, the whole mobile piece and personalized user experience. So over the last few years, more and more traffic is has migrated to the phone. And even in Naukri, we get about 70% of our users on the phone now. So we continue to sort of invest aggressively in improving the user experience in our app, for example. Then we made this foray over the last few years in the enterprise applicant tracking and resume management space. So we built a slew of products under the RMS umbrella, which we are now which we continue to invest behind and which we are pushing in the market. So that's the second big area of investment for us. Thirdly, we put together a data science group and a machine learning group to use these technologies to improve our matching algorithms. So that's the third area in which we're investing on the product technology front. In addition to this, there are a host of other features which we keep working on improving. Many of these things are a small incremental improvements, which you don't get to see. But there's a large team which works on these as well from time to time.
Sure, that's helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ritesh Bhagwati from Rockstead Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. Just wanted to know on Zomato. There are some talks going on, where Zomato is further looking to raise money to the tune of $400 million. That's the rumors going on. So I just want to know from your end, do you guys would be participating in those rounds, how you did in Policy Bazaar, and maintain the stake, or increase the stake maybe?
Well, look, we always like to support our investee companies, the ones that are doing well. Now, having said that, we did exit to a certain extent in the last round.
Exactly.
I think there's enough investor demand, in Zomato. Enough inbound interest for us to have an option to not participate. Having said that, we are unable to confirm or deny, and make any comment on whether a round is happening or not.
Right.
So we'll take it as it comes.
But then would we be participating to maintain our stake? Because that seems to be a pretty good investment for us, and it would be,
I cannot even comment on whether a round is happening or not. So that's why I obviously cannot comment on whether we're participating or not. But like I said, we are, there is in some of our companies there's so much inbound investor demand that we have the option of not participating.
Okay. Cool. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Karan Uppal from Haitong Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the follow-up, sir. So apart from IT, which other sectors you are seeing growth, and what's the outlook over there for the rest of the year? Thanks.
So in Q1, we saw growth across several sectors, like auto, industrial products, construction, banking, finance, insurance, BPO. So many sectors did well in Q1. I can't really comment on which sectors are going to do well going forward. We'll see. First quarter last year was impacted because of GST. So this growth is coming up a little bit. But the sales team is a lot more confident than they were at the same time last year.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mithin Lachia from HDFC. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Would you have the number for unique visitors on 99acres on a YOY basis, the growth rate handy?
Sorry, can you repeat that?
The growth rate in unique visitors on 99acres on a year-over-year basis for quarter one? Would you have that?
I don't think we give out these. Give out this one? We don't give out the unique visitor number on 99acres.
You mentioned you had a 60% traffic share, so just want and
50% traffic share. No, but traffic share, the way we measure it is a function of both unique visitors and time spent on the site.
And this data is from third parties.
Similar web is the source we use.
Sure. Okay. That's it. Nothing else. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Hitesh Oberoi for closing comments.
Well, thank you everyone for being on the call and have a great evening.
Thank you. Yep. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Info Edge Limited, that concludes this conference call for today. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.